This is the More Abundant Life radio broadcast. My name is Adrian Westney Jr. As your host today, I would like to welcome you to our program and invite you to stay tuned because, as usual, we have some great things in store for you on this half hour. The More Abundant Life is a radio broadcast which features inspiring messages by Pastor Wendley Phipps. Today, we're going to get right to the message after our music, and I won't even announce the title. I'll wait and let Pastor Phipps announce it himself because he does it in a very interesting way. So please stay tuned today to our program. I'm sure you are going to be blessed.
God placed a dream within your heart, and if you make a start, He wants for you to know. All of your needs He will supply. He's always standing by. He's there to see you through. So keep on climbing until your goal. Just keep on striving with all your heart and soul. All things are possible with God, so don't give in. He'll move your mountains. He believes in your
message this morning, we shall overcome. We shall overcome. I'm going to change the title. My message this morning, we better overcome. We must overcome. Not just we shall, but we better and we must overcome. If you have your Bibles with you, go with me to the book of Revelation, chapter 12, verse 9. Revelation 12, verse 9. The Bible says, "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night." And verse 11, "And they overcame him." Hallelujah. "By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time." And then go over to Revelation chapter 3, the book of Revelation chapter 3. "To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, Amen. Even as I also overcame and am sat down with my Father in his throne." And one last text over to John, the book of John, chapter 16, verse 33. It's wonderful to have a Bible, isn't it? It's wonderful to share your Bible, isn't it? "These things," John 16, 33, "these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." This scripture comes from the time of communion. There in the upper room, Jesus had begun his ministry of final words. He had done so many great things, and now the time had come for words of challenge and exhortation. Christ could see that a deceptive calm surrounded his disciples. He could see that they had been lulled into a state of false tranquility. He could tell that they were unprepared for what was about to befall them. And so his final words to them seemed to carry an earnest weight of urgency, an urgency that deserves our close and careful attention. These final words of Jesus merit a complete and thorough review. Today, we must pray as well that God will reveal to us the solemn import and hidden power behind those words. Church, the final conversations of Jesus with his disciples make it clear that he was more concerned about his disciples, that they were not aware of the magnitude of the sorrow they were going to be called upon to endure. They were not aware of the hidden powers of hatred soon to be unleashed against them. "Verily, verily, I say unto you," said Jesus, "in that day you shall weep and lament, but the world will rejoice over what is going to happen to me. Have mercy. As for you, you shall be sorrowful with a terrible sorrow, but suddenly," said Jesus, "your sorrow shall be turned to joy. It will be for you like a woman in childbirth, in the midst of labor, like a woman in pain because her time has come. She's in pain, but oh, when the baby is born, that mother forgets about her anguish. The face of her newborn child brings her so much joy, so much gladness that she forgets the pain. And you will have sorrow now," said Jesus, "but when the new future is born, and you see me, scepter in hand, clothed in glory and majesty, you'll forget the pain. You'll forget the trials. You'll forget the tribulation. When the new future is born in that day, your hearts will rejoice, for you will see me again. Now these things I've spoken to you, that in me ye might have peace. For in the world you will have trouble, trials, tribulation. But be of what? Be of what? Good cheer. Take courage. Take heart, precious children. For I have overcome. These words of Jesus are both fact and prophecy. They are not only a celebratory announcement of what Christ has already done, but they are prophetic in that they are a promise that an assured victory is on its way. The prince of this world came, said Jesus, found nothing in me. I took him out into the wilderness. I was without food for 40 days, and I vanquished him. That's an old English word for I beat him thoroughly. On our behalf, brothers and sisters, Christ overcame. For our sake, he exercised a self-control stronger than death for you. He overcame by the strength of his love for us. But what about the prophetic side of this word? Jesus says, in your hour of despair and sorrow, you must remember that I have overcome the world. This word, church, that Christ declared to his disciples is a bold word and a daring word, a brave, confident word. I've overcome the world already. There on the cross, Jesus is saying, I took the worst hell had to throw at me, and I overcame. Amen. I met all the evil that was in the world, concentrated on Golgotha, and I overcame. I looked into the eye of horror, and I faced Calvary, held my head up, steadied my heart. I overcame. And brothers and sisters, Calvary was not a defeat. It was a victory. I overcame. And church, when I look at what is arrayed against you and against me, when I see how much is stacked against us, I need a word to keep me buoyed up and encouraged. When I look at, come on, look at your own life. You should not be where you are. You who were abused mentally, physically, emotionally, and you sit here clothed in your right mind with remnants of self-esteem. Jesus is saying, I overcame. And you must remember that in your dark hours. I overcame the world, not just for myself, but for you. All the pressures you face, maybe nobody's got pressures here today. All the trials you face, Jesus is saying, you can overcome all of them. Why? For greater is he that is in you. Now, if he is in you and he says, I have overcome, that means that you can overcome anything the enemy throws at you. You can overcome hell. You can overcome death. Praise his holy name. Amen. Jesus has already overcome. So your case is not hopeless. Just because every time the devil throws a temptation at you, you find yourself flat on your back, defeated, beaten, that doesn't mean that you can't rise again. Amen? Amen. You know, one of my favorite heroes of history was Sir Winston Churchill. And Sir Winston Churchill, I'll never forget, after reading about after World War I, when they entered World War I, he was asked to return to the cabinet as Secretary of State for munitions. And he stood up and delivered this to an audience. He said, "Germany must be beaten. Germany must feel like she is beaten. No compromise with the main purpose. No peace till victory. No pact with repentant wrong." We have before us an ordeal of the most grievous kind. He said, "What is our aim? Victory." What I'm trying to say to you, brothers and sisters, is you better fix your heart to accept the fact that that temptation, that habit, that vice, that problem that keeps putting you down, you must overcome. You better overcome. You can overcome. Listen, overcoming is not an option.
That's right. Yes, sir.
For the Lord has said, those who overcome are the ones who are going to sit with him in his throne.
That's right.
It is not optional.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Let me say that again. It is not optional. Two young Americans the other day tied for the gold medal in swimming. I want you to know the God you serve has no detente with loss.
All right. Yes, sir.
He is all about total victory.
Amen. Amen. That's
right. Get it in your head.
Yeah.
God is only about victory. He's never lost a game.
All right.
Never intends to tie.
Yes, sir.
He's not sharing gold medals with anybody. Your God is out for victory. And he wants you to have that mindset. He wants you to have that courage. He wants you to have that heart that you will accept nothing other than victory. You must overcome. One writer said, you have all eternity to celebrate your victories. But you only have one short hour to win them. This is the time you've got. You don't have a choice. You've got to overcome. Amen. I said you've got to overcome. And you can't feel sorry for yourself. You can't sit around thinking, oh, this is the Indian in me. Or this is the West Indian in me. Or this is my human nature. Give no sanctuary to that. God is expecting you to be victorious. Amen. And every moment you resist temptation is in his eyes a victory. He conquers twice, said one writer, who conquers himself in victory. You know, in one of the great battles of history, the general of the French was approached by an excited officer who said, "The battle is lost." And the general came back and said, "But there is time to win another."
Amen.
No defeat is final.
All right. Yes. Yes.
So the devil knocked you down.
Yes.
No defeat is final unless you choose to make it so.
All right.
There's, hallelujah, yes, as long as you've got breath,
so,
there's time for another victory.
Amen.
So suppose your temper gets the best of you. Amen. Instead of conquer it. Suppose you yield to temptation. You meant to defeat it. No reason for you to give up. The end has not come yet. You're still alive. There's hope. There's still time to win another battle. You got to keep trying. In the world you shall have tribulation. Oh, but be of good cheer, said Jesus. What? I have overcome. Paul says you're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Don't give up. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. The Phillips translation says it this way. You can be handicapped on all sides, but you don't have to get frustrated. You can be puzzled, but don't be in despair. Yes, you're persecuted, but you're not standing alone. You may be knocked down, but you're not knocked out. There's still time for another victory. And if you know anything about that enemy, he's going to come to try your resolve. He wants to see if you're going to overcome. In men's eyes, your life may look hopeless. Oh, but remember, God's cause never looked more hopeless than it did on Calvary. But he got the victory in the midst of death and hell and despair. When our Lord said, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Let me share with you, he did not mean the world in its material sense. You know, the rocks and trees and... He meant the world in its order and its systems and its governance. Sometimes it seems like the evil prosper. Sometimes it's, and that's the thing that the enemy does for young people. They look and all they see is the artist dedicated to degeneracy and vice and evil. Flashing the diamonds and the cars. You're not listening to me. But I want you to know, brothers and sisters and young people, I want you to know that's no sign of victory.
That's right.
Listen.
Say so.
You have got to fix your mind and heart. Jesus said, I have overcome them all. I've overcome the world, I endured the cross, and I'm a conqueror.
That's right.
Amen. He's the captain of our salvation. So if you make a mistake, young people, you can turn your defeat into victory.
Yes.
God will send help just when you need it. Don't give up. Always believe that the Lord will guide you. You don't fight alone. Amen. By the way, God has a lot of experience in victory.
Amen.
The armies of heaven are engaged in the contest with you. And do you know that God's armies have never lost a war? So what does that mean? I'm trying to tell you today with as much strength and power and confidence that you can overcome any bad habit.
Amen.
You can overcome any vice. You can overcome any bad habit.
Amen.
You can overcome any vice.
Yes.
You can overcome that same sin that easily besets you and keeps bringing you down. You can stand conqueror over self and selfishness, over passion and impulse and vice, because Christ in you can overcome.
Amen.
You can overcome through the uplifting influence of the Spirit. Overcoming is not optional. Let me read you something. This will absolutely amaze you. God will help us overcome our wrongs if we will pray and believe on him. You will have moral power to engage in the warfare against Satan. In the name of him who conquered appetite in our behalf, we can overcome every appetite.
Amen.
Whoa. Hallelujah. Somebody ought to say hallelujah. Amen. I'm thankful that he overcame.
Amen.
I want to read you something else. This blew me away. In our own strength, it is impossible for us to deny the clamors of our fallen nature. If anybody believes that, up in here today, say amen.
Amen.
In your strength, it is what? Impossible for you to deny the calling of your human nature. Through this channel, Satan will bring temptation upon you. Christ knew that the enemy would come to every human being to take advantage of hereditary weaknesses and by his false insinuations to ensnare all those whose trust is not in God. And by passing over the ground which man must travel, our Lord prepared the way for us to overcome. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. He took care of it. Yeah. He crossed that battlefield for you. Let him who is struggling against the power of appetite. I don't know why the Lord keeps bringing this appetite thing back. Because it encompasses everything human in us. Amen. Appetite is not just about what you put in your mouth. It's about what you touch. How you feel. How she makes you feel. How he makes you swoon. That's all about appetite. Appetite is everything you feel, everything that tingles within you. Let him who is struggling with that look to the Savior in the wilderness of temptation and see him on the cross saying, I thirst. He would rather thirst than sin. What area of your life has God been patiently, decade after decade, year after year, promise after promise? In what area of your life has he been waiting for you to be victorious? I want you to just recognize that today God has told me to tell you, he will give you the strength to overcome.
This concludes the message for today. I do hope that it's not only been a blessing to you, but that you've understood it. If you would like to obtain a copy of today's message, please call the Seabrook Church Office at 301-577-6342. You will want to ask for program number 198, which will give you the title, We Must Overcome. Again, the phone number is 301-577-6342, and that's program number 198. Well, until next time, my name is Adrian Westney Jr. Please remember that God loves you. Join us again for another program. And until then, remember the words of John chapter 10, verse 10, where Jesus said, I came that you might have life, and that that life might be the more abundant life.
Give what's in